Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 161, part 1, Halfway Never Makes It. Today is Friday, August 20th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because there are no boundaries. Located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also shop Pastor Paul's mall online if you're living in the Southwest United States at Vons.com. So you can pick up some groceries through Pastor Paul's mall at Vons.com. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links to Pastor Paul's messages. You're going to be joining us 2 times a week minimum for Pastor Paul's podcast. Part 1 is always on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. That's the conclusion to his message. Also, join the Twitter Rumble, which is on Thursday. I am doing live tweets as I record Pastor Paul's pre-recorded message. So lots happening at pastorpaul.org. This month, the messages are the following. Deliver me from lying lips. Knowing yourself, halfway never makes it, can we boast of tomorrow? Great messages, timely messages. Join us here every week. Have a great month of August. God bless you.
Tonight's tape is entitled, Halfway Never Makes It. Halfway Never Makes It. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Genesis 11 and 31. Abram took Sarai, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And that's Genesis 12 and 5. We're going to read from those two scriptures tonight. So here's the scene. After the flood, man began to multiply. The population then started to pollute. And it wasn't long before they began to turn away from the living and true God. At first, you see, the sons of Noah walked in the light of the divine knowledge, even though it says there was found some evil seed amongst them. There always will be that. Then it goes on, then God scattered them over the earth. Then you remember he gave them different languages at the Tower of Babel. You fixed this, but no. See if we can't get this so it don't bother your eyes here. Okay? Anyway, evil was confused. I started to think about that. Oh, I thought that must have made Satan mad. All the people building the stairway to the stars and idol worship. Now the demons couldn't communicate. Can you imagine trying to build like the IDS building with everybody speaking a different language? German bricklayers, Egyptian architects, Polish welders, Swedish carpenters and Italian electricians, Iranian bankers, Jewish plumbers, Russian construction workers and black elevator technicians, Norwegian boiler people and Irish roof people, Greek window people, and then add to this the wives sitting at home speaking different tongues. I mean, man, they couldn't even get into a good fight. Yes, they would have to split up and move to different groups where they could talk the same lip to one another. And thought that sounds something like the churches today. They have the same they don't have the same language, so they split up and get into doctrinal differences. But anyway, they scattered and they took with them a measure of knowledge of God, which they received from their fathers, the Bible says. But after a while, that too grew dim, and they started to worship the sun and the moon, and they worshiped the fire as their mystical god, it goes on. And once leaving God, their downhill slide had them worship very strange gods indeed. When we start to walk away from God in our obedience, we start to slide away from the Lord and what God has intended us to do, we start to worship very strange gods indeed. I'm looking back at about 13 years of different strange gods that have come into the house of God. Ungospel messages, messages of prosperity, messages of hyperfaith, and all these other things. They're very strange gods that we have fallen into. But anyway, a long period of time passes without a voice from God. And I think we're in that sort of a siege right now. People are wondering, what happened to God? I'm not hearing from God. And it seemed like man was left to himself and in danger of being given up unto idols. Then the nations wandered all over different ways, but all down a downhill road. Yet grace was still working, which the Bible says is love, which is patient and kind and overlooking, not seeing its own, seeking its own, and it's enduring. It never fails, never finds fault. But God revealed himself, it says in the Bible, through a man called Abram and made an everlasting covenant with him. And also, we got to look at the elect family here that was led apart. God says, I want to take this family and pull it and take it and set it apart. And so Abram must come out from among those of Ur of the Chaldees and all of its associations with idolatry. See, anything that puts itself ahead of God is idolatry. Well, could that be your children? Yes. Could that be a friend? Yes. Could that be the church? Yes. Could that be the Bible? Yes, if it's ahead of God. See, all these things that you set ahead of God are idolatry. Could it be your own wisdom? Yes, if it's set ahead of God. But anyway, it said he must leave his kin, he must leave his father's house, he must walk before the Lord, and he must be what? Obedient. Now that's not always an easy thing to do. I'm talking about in complete consecration. And then the Bible says by doing this, God would fulfill his gracious purpose. And God's aim and purpose was to keep truth alive. Sometimes it's a hard thing to keep truth alive. But by a people who were set aside for that service. And so it was necessary that the person chosen to be the head of that family, the founder of that nation, should come away from corruption. And so the call came, and here's the call. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Get away from your own people and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now I looked at that, and I thought, here I was out here in Happy Valley, out here in the Noble Mountain. Now I'm reading this, it says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I think right now that God is working in the very same manner in the midst of the world by his church. Now I'm not talking about an unauthorized group. An unauthorized group of people that just go off sporadically by themselves. But they are named and they are called, and they are called by the trumpet, and God has a name on their life. Come out. Because I think the true church consists of men who are called faithful, and the Bible says chosen. They are redeemed, it says, from among men. They are called out from among their fellows by an effectual calling, an effectual grace. And so God then, by his Holy Spirit, continues to call out. Call out from among their fellows, I said, by an effectual grace, and bring to the Lord Jesus those who are chosen of God. And right now we're seeing people coming in from all over. It says in the Bible, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, now we're looking at the church coming in that says right now, God in the end will raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world that confound the wise, according, it says, to the good pleasure of his will. So now he's calling people in. And here's what he's saying. And the result is always of a call. Get thee out from thy country. Now maybe someone right now is sitting in the bar. Leave the bar crowd country. I remember when that call came, I was sitting in a bar. Leave the Marlboro country, the pothead country. Leave the perversion country. Leave Sin City sin. Leave the sentimental journey crowd. Leave the self-pleasers crowd. And over the call is going out. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And so right now we see the church is in a repetition camp, and it's repeating this very thing over and over again. It's sort of a dedicated duplication going on and on and on, and God is working the same work in people right now, I say, from the bars and from perversion and from all over. And the Bible tells us that we are to maintain the truth, to preach the gospel, to occupy until this dispensation of grace shall close, and the judge, it says, shall ascend from the throne. Now, that's going to be a little different bag in the end times. Now, with having said all that, let's go on with the message, and let's look at three things tonight. First, this call was only half obeyed, because in the first scripture that we read, Genesis 11 and 31, we find the command of God obeyed halfway. They got as far as Haran, and they stopped right there. Okay. Secondly, this call was of a very special character. And thirdly, this call, when it is really obeyed, puts the obedient upon a special footing. Let me read that one again. This call, when it is really obeyed, puts the obedient upon a very special footing. So number one, the call is only half obeyed. It came to him, it says, when he lived in the Ur of Chaldees. He was to go into the land of Canaan, yet we read this, that they came to Haran and dwelt there. That's like your boss tells you to go to, let's say, St. Paul, and you stop in Minneapolis. You're from another country, and you're coming this way, or another town, and you're coming this way. And so you only halfway obey. Well, it doesn't say how the call came. We don't know if it came by a voice audible, or by a small inward voice, or by an impulse upon his mind. But Stephen says in Acts 7 that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. He saw a light. He got the revelation. Now, sometimes when you get a revelation, it isn't all that easy to explain. All you know is that God's put you in a place, and the revelation is for you to stay there and to go on with what God has purposed for you to do. And so he must journey to another land, and no more, it says, dwell in the city, town, or village, but become a sojourner with God, a tent dweller, a stranger, in other words, in a strange land. Now his difficulties start. His folks didn't want him to go. Did they call him insane? No. Did they hide his Samsonite luggage? No. Did they ridicule him? No. Did they get a petition together? No. Did they list reasons for him to stay home? No. Did they simply say, it's absurd, it sounds illogical, but if you must go, then we would have you, then we're going to let you go, we're going to be sad about it? No, they didn't lay that chip on him. Or if they would have opposed him bitterly and with tears and loud shouting, well, his course then would have been very plain. But he had to meet with a much greater evil and listen to it. His friends said, you're right, let's go. Beware the eager beavers. People that don't count the cost and say, let's go. That sounds like a good idea. But then the word came saying, and listen to what the word said. Get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Leave them. But how could he get out, I thought, when they clung to him? Sort of like, you ever have company and they won't leave? You ever have that kind of company? And it's 11 o'clock and it's 11:30, and then it's 12 o'clock and then it's 12:30, and then it's 1 o'clock, and then you take a sleeping bag out and roll it out in the middle of the floor out there and put a pillow out there, crawl inside the sleeping bag and lay down on the pillow and yawn and do everything. They won't leave? But how would he get rid of them? They followed him. And then they did something else. They yielded to him. And with this loving spirit, he couldn't say nothing else but come. But God didn't tell him to do that. The word came saying, get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Leave them. I'm asking you to go. Well, I thought maybe Abram looked for great things from this. Here they are, and maybe I should rejoice, because here they all want to go. This is great. This is better than what God thought it would be. But let's look again at the scripture. It looks as if his father Terah led the way in this migration. And then listen to what it says. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his son's son, and listen, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and the son of Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur, the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. Now the father is leading the clan. And God told him, get away from all these people. So now the migration is led by his father. Now he got confusion. Well, what could he do? Dad wanted to lead the way. And so instead of opposition from his family, his own father led the way. Well, you say, isn't that great? Wow, I mean, honor thy mother and father, right? How about God? See, you can always find scriptures. But let me tell you something, God comes first. Well, doesn't it say to honor your father and mother? God didn't say that. God didn't ask him to do that. He says, leave your kindred. Leave them. Just take off. I want you to go. Boy, it sure would help if all his friends and relatives would have said, sure, sounds great. Let's go. Well, doesn't it sound good? I mean, they're all ready to go. I mean, this is an undivided assent to the Lord's calling. Everybody wants to go. Sounds good to me. But God didn't call them all. He called him and he told him to take off. But it certainly looks good. Volunteers galore. If I've learned one thing, being down here on the north side, my God, if you got a whole lot of volunteers, and they're just standing around, and they don't really want to do the job, and they're just so anxious to take off and go ahead with God's work, and, oh, God's called me to it, I know. But, see, God hasn't called them to it. God didn't tell you to pick up all these people. God says, I'll send them as you go. And you see them drop off, one at a time, two at a time, three at a time, half a dozen at a time. Pretty soon there ain't nobody around. Starts out good, doesn't it? Well, it certainly looks good, but so does fool's gold. Remember, it's everything that glitters is not gold, too. See, what we think will help us now may later on hinder us. Preacher, if you're listening to me tonight, today, and if you're called, don't allow someone else to do the calling. In other words, God calls you to do a work. Don't let someone come on in and start to bid and do the calling in that church. God didn't call them to do the calling. God called you to do the calling. How many hearing this? Anyway, what looks like a work of grace may turn out to be only the movements of an unrenewed nature. Like the mixed multitudes when they came out of Egypt with Israel, we may have about us, professed friends who may become our worst foes in the secrets of God's truth and grace. Time will tell. Have you ever had a friend that just let you down, totally let you down? I thought, my God, this is the best friend I ever had in my whole life. I know everybody's had that. How many have had that? Had a really good friend, and then all of a sudden they just fizzle. Haven't you ever had that happen to you? Oh, God. You know what happens? Pressure reveals that. See, some people cannot stand good friends. Now listen to this. They will take that good friend and they will misuse that good friend over and over and over again for somebody that cannot stand their guts. Isn't that strange? Have you ever noticed that? Say amen, somebody. But anyway, trials will surface the impurities. And fire will expose the true gold. And I believe sufferings will separate the Boy Scouts from the Marines. That's sort of like having a kid with a belt here of Tootsie Rolls against a guy with hand grenades on, you know what I mean? But anyway, in Abram's case, the dreaded separation is spared. And they start out together and everybody's skipping down the road and they're having such a good time fantasizing. But Terah's in the lead, you see. And Abram is a very close second. And I thought, oh, what unity. What fellowship. They're all going off together. And it all looks so good. And I thought to myself, now, doesn't that look good? But then the travel starts to get a little bit wearisome. Sometimes when you get into works and you get into a travel down the road of God's divine call, it gets a little bit wearisome. And people start to murmur. And they start to say something like this. This move of faith has too many trials. I mean, there are too many negatives. I mean, we've gone halfway, and we'll stop right here in Haran. Well, they thought, true, it isn't Canaan, but my feet are telling me it's time to stop right here. Sometimes folks get into works, and right in the middle of the work, they sit down. And they only go halfway with what God called them to do. Now, it's kind of sad going on when there ain't a whole lot of folks. And I'm talking to preachers because I'm getting these phone calls all the time. Now listen, preachers. But let me tell you something, preachers. It's a lot sadder to go on outside of the will of God with a lot of people that are sitting in heaven. And you're only going to be happy, you see, if you go ahead and you cross over, go through the trials, and go over into Canaan land. You're going to be a lot sadder, I said, going halfway and stopping. And so you must persevere. You must strengthen yourself in the Lord. You must not be dismayed at their faces, and you must go on. Well, you're really going to be sad. I'll tell you, that's happened to me down here several times. You get so that you watch people and they go halfway. And right in the middle of what they're doing, they sit down. And it's just like the call of God stopped right there. Isn't that kind of sad? Well, brother, if that person would have continued on, he might have got killed. So? What's that got to do with obedience to the Lord? Yeah, but brother, if you would have kept on, his family might have got upset with him. What's that got to do with obeying the Lord? Come on now. But brother, I mean, the whole congregation, I mean, the people of the Minneapolis, the world was saying it wasn't right to do. What has that got to do with obeying the Lord? Come on now. And we can all find our own excuses. But when it comes right down to it, either you're miserable sitting in Haran, or you're temporarily miserable because you haven't got a whole crowd of people around you. But let me tell you something. If you disobey the Lord, preacher, leaders, and what God has set you out to do, and you sit on your frumpy backside there in Haran, you're going to be a sad sack for the rest of your life. Better that you get struck dead. Say amen, somebody. There is nothing more frightening than not hearing God's voice. Now you sit down there in Haran, and you're not going to hear from God, not once. Not one time. So you just get a little backbone preacher and get up and keep going. That's all I got to say to you. But I know it's true this isn't Canaan, but my feet say it's good enough. My dogs is barking. See, reason took over. Oh, my. Haven't we got a lot of reasons? Reason took over. Huh? I think sometimes if it came to doing a work for God and getting Mama, cream and a pound of butter, that you'd get the cream and pound of butter rather than do God's work. Say amen, somebody. I mean, hey, come on. Come on, people. Reason took over. And they started to say like this, well, I think we've gone far enough with this guy. I'll bet he's surprised we came this far. I didn't think I'd come this far myself. And maybe we can't yield all his commands, but I believe we proved our love. We left half of our lives behind. And after all, I believe the Lord understands. So long, Lord, it's been good to know you. my. I think this is a fair compromise, don't you, Freddy boy? I mean, Abram is really sincere, but, you know, he's sort of a fanatic. Surely he won't take this command as a verbal inspiration. And after all, isn't Canaan where you make it? Let's just call this Canaan. Okay. By faith, this is Canaan, right across the street here. Isn't one place as good as another? And besides, doesn't Haran answer every purpose? And besides, if we stay here, he'll stay with us. You wait and see. His father starts in. The one that took over and led the whole group. And listen. And his father pleads something like this. I'm so old. I mean, right in the middle of all this, see. Just wait till you get to be my age. I mean, can your dear old parents cross the broad Euphrates? Spare your old parents, Abram. Deliver us from the last trial. We came this far to please you. All of a sudden, it's his fault. Doesn't that show our love? We came this far with you, son. What more do you want? See, they weren't called to come. Funny, when folks peter out, you're the leader. When folks peter out, you're the leader. It's all your fault. How many are hearing this? Ooh. And here the man of faith starts to weaken. Listen. It weakens to what? The voices? We're old. Will you reach our age? I mean, we're the dear old parents. We won't be able to cross that broad river, the Euphrates. Deliver us from this last trial, son. Oh, please. We've shown our love. Haven't we gone all the way? And the murmuring. He starts to weaken to the complaining and to the faces. Exaggeration, you say? Methinks not. For in Haran, the Bible says, they did stay. Notice, not one word of blessing is mentioned while Abram was halfway in Haran. You must go through a whole trial for a whole blessing. When's the blessing coming? I'm in the middle of the river. You're supposed to cross over. What about a blessing right now? Nor does it say in the Bible that Abram talked to God while he lived in the halfway house called Haran. No. Listen, to a friend of God, people, silence is a terrible rebuke. When a friend doesn't smile, he doesn't have to frown to let you know where you're at with him. When a friend doesn't speak, he doesn't have to yell. His silence is enough to sadden me. Now listen now carefully. Abram and the group settled down at Haran. He was conquered not by open foes, but by compromising friends. A slow death. If you're around compromising friends, you'll die a slow death. Especially if you've been called for a work and your compromising friends are whispering in your ears that there are more important things to do than obeying what God has set you out to do. My God, leave that thing right now, and I don't care how much money you got involved in it or time that's involved in it, leave it, or you will be miserable for the rest of your life. Say amen, somebody. You start to listen to people, and pretty soon they draw you away and you can't hear God. Your whole spirit is down. You're feeling like you're outside. God isn't talking to you hard. You hardly can hear his voice anymore. And so learn from this, not to be tangled up and separated from God's voice by people in your own household. These were people in his own household. Old dad and the rest. And if we follow Jesus wherever that he may go, we must not know our own people when it comes to a parting of the way. If there comes a separation, and hey, and there is a separation between sheep and goats, and there's all kinds of separations, okay. If we follow Jesus, listen to it, wherever he may go, we must not know our own people when it comes to a parting of the way. Everything else must grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you are called to something, you stay on that road, my God, and don't you deviate one smidgen from it, or you're going to be miserable. Now, how many have heard that? And, hey, what I'm speaking here is the truth. There's just a whole lot of people that, for one reason or another, think that... Well, I can leave the road over here because this is a good excuse for over here. Or this is a good excuse for over here. And this is a good excuse for over here. And we'll always look for a reason. There is no reason. There is no excuse. No, I can find no excuse. And this work I'm doing down here is until death do us part, me and this work I'm talking about. I'm married to this place. Until death do us part. And there is no reason for me to disobey God. Not one. Can you think of some for me? Well, go ahead. Now, this is what it's going to come to in the end. Yeah. Everything else must grow very dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, honest wolves won't hurt us as much as those dressed up like sheep and look like sheep, but are wolves. Our first father, Adam, fell by the temptation of one who he loved, and Satan uses that over and over and over again. He seduces us through our affections. The apple of our eye, should we say. And so anyway, what are the consequences for this tarrying at the halfway point? In other words, if the Lord told Abram to go to Canaan, he can't fulfill his command by going halfway to Haran. Go to Canaan. Okay, now he's sitting here in Haran. How can he fulfill it? If you're in the middle of a work, God has you traveling through this work to a Canaan experience, and you stop in the middle of it, how can God speak to you? Are you hearing this? See, now I'm talking about an act of obedience. Shut up. No. But no. Just keep on a-going.